I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
Unfortunately, various terrorist groups abduct children to put pressure on their families and societies. But never before the mass kidnapping and deportation would become a part of the government policy. Not until now. We know the names of tens of thousands of children and have evidence on hundreds of thousands of others kidnapped by Russia in the occupied territories of Ukraine and later deported. The International Criminal Court issued arrest warrant for Putin for this crime. And we are trying to get children back home. But time goes by. What will happen with them? What will happen to them? Those children in Russia are taught to hate Ukraine, and all ties with their families are broken. And this is clearly a genocide. When hatred is weaponized against one nation, it never stops there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events with Jack Posobiec. Today is September 20th, 2023, Anno Domini. Ukraine has just fired their trans spokesman, the so-called Sarah Ashton Cirillo, actually Mike Ashton Cirillo. And in fact, the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense just announced that Mike here has been placed under investigation. And in fact, has been placed under investigation because remember, this freak is a member of the armed forces. That means he's under investigation from the same agency that he threatened to send after me. Well, sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. But you see, you didn't count on the people of this country and our reliance upon God and our reliance upon the truth to come back. After you flew a little too close to the sun, didn't you, Mike, on this one? You flew a little bit close to the sun, and I'm sorry, but unfortunately, you've now been humiliated publicly in front of the entire world. You, let me explain. You're a grifter who tried to run, you're a failed candidate who tried to run in Las Vegas. You ran over to Ukraine after your transition, which mostly consisted of you slapping a wig on your head and stuffing your shirt. Then you ran over to Ukraine, got a couple of bylines for the Daily Beast. But then that dried up too. And you said, what's to do next? I know. I'm going to pull a Malcolm Nance and I'm going to join the military here. Here's the problem, though. You see, when you join the military, and those of us who actually served would know how this works, that means you fall under the military code of justice. And now you are going to face justice. Because let me just tell you something. The sword of St. Michael. The sword of St. Michael will come for all. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now going. I know President Trump is about to take the stage. We've got a live event with President Trump in Iowa. He's giving a caucus training. He's then going to be speaking in Dubuque. You know, it's very interesting because Con Inc. was telling us that all week that Iowa hates Trump. Trump is done in Iowa. And yet there's thousands and thousands of people that have all gathered to be with Trump today. It's kind of strange how that, are these the listless vessels that we were told about? Are these Iowans stupid? Do they not understand? Con Inc., please explain to me, why are there thousands and thousands of people on their feet cheering for President Trump to attend this event? We'll see. All right, guys, let's go to the rally. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
Thank you very much. You know, this was supposed to be a very small little gathering. They said they'd never seen anything like it here. They actually talk like this is a small part, and a lot of people don't show up, but boy, they showed up today. We broke every record. And this is really friends. We're doing a big speech later, but this is an intimate gathering. This was supposed to be a very intimate. This is a little bit intimate, but it is intimate. But this is a gathering of people that have been so supportive, and we're going to get out there and we're going to get out that vote, that caucus vote, which is very important. And, you know, last time I was leading, I was beating everybody, but they didn't do the caucus thing too well. And I learned a lot. We went to New Hampshire. We knocked them dead. We did very well here. We came in second. It was my only second. I don't like second, though. Then we won the race against the Democrats. That's a big one, right? We won the race, but we won it against beautiful Hillary. See, I call it beautiful now. Because we use the word crooked for somebody else. You know who that is, right? That's a very accurate description. But we ended up winning, but I learned so much during the process. This is the first race, and I'll never forget my first race ever in politics because I wasn't a politician. I like to think of myself not as a politician now. But I came into Iowa, and I came in second out of 18, right? So we had 18. I came in second. They said, Trump suffers a major defeat. That was the beginning with the fake news. Trump suffered. I came in second. And, you know, normally people would be thrilled to come in at that position. And honestly, they didn't have a good group. And now we have a group like we've never had before. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. So I remember my daughter Ivanka. She was in Des Moines, a big area, and she was in Des Moines with by herself. She was waiting, and she was waiting for these people to come in because, you know, you have to have a big staff, and they come in, and you talk about how wonderful Trump is and all this. But Ivanka calls me, "Daddy, they don't have anybody here." The company that did the job, they weren't so hot. "They don't have anybody here, Daddy, but I'll take it." But we did, you know, pretty well. Then we went on to win the state against Hillary. And we won the state the second time, and we won it big. In fact, the second time in the overall election, we got millions and millions of more votes than we did in the first election. We were told, all of us were told, that if you got the same number of votes, 63 million, as we got in 16, that the election would be over. But we got like 12 million, a lot. We don't even know. Because nobody knows, because nobody understands what the hell happened with that election. But we're not letting it happen again, that I can tell you. We're not going to let that happen again. Millions more votes. It was very interesting. I had a meeting with one of the big papers, New York Times, actually. They said, "What happened the second time?" "Well, we did much better." "Well, what do you mean you did better?" "We got millions more votes, millions and millions more votes." And they said, "Yeah, that's sort of right when you think about it, I guess, right? But we're going to do something. We're going to do something that's historic now, and we're going to bring our country back from the dead. Our country is dying. It's dying. When you look at what's happening at the border, when you look at all the things that are going on, our country is in such serious shape. So I just want to thank you all for joining us today. Special day. It's a special place. We're going to be back 5 or 6 times in the next period of, you know, think of it. We're talking about 4 months. Can you believe it? When it was 4 years, I said, that's a long time. Now we start in 4 months. You're the first. I kept you first, by the way. I hope you know that, because people like to take credit. People like to take credit. There's only one person that can take credit. I kept you first. And as you know, the Democrats didn't do that. But we'll worry about that later. We want to get through the caucus. We want to get through it right away. And we want to win it by numbers bigger than we won it even the last time, if that's possible. So thank you all. In less than 4 months from now, we're going to win the Iowa caucuses in a historic landslide. I think it's going to be a landslide. You see what's going on with the polling. We've been like a rocket ship. We've been going like this. And the polls have been incredible, both against the Republicans and against the Republicans. We're up 60 points, 60. Think of it. Who the hell ever thought that was going to happen so quickly? They crashed and burned. They crashed and burned. But we're up 60. Thank you. I love you, too, even though it's not generally my thing. It's not generally my thing when a guy screams out, "I love you." But that's okay. We love you all. But, and the polls were up massive numbers. We'll talk about them in a couple of minutes. And we may take a few questions from people, too, if you want. I always say that, you know, if I don't want to really take questions, I say at the very end, and now we'll take questions. Everybody's like, oh, I don't have time. When you say it at the beginning, people are thinking the whole damn speech, and they're thinking. But we're going to take a few questions. I think you can handle it. They have some mics around here, so we'll handle it. And you think Joe Biden does that? Well, from a group of people, we'll take some questions. I did Meet the Press this weekend. They got fantastic ratings. I call it Meet the Fake Press. And they had fantastic rating. And it was one question after another, after another, after another, and went through this whole hour. And Kristen Welker, and she was, you know, nice, although kept interrupting me because she wasn't loving some of the answers I was giving, you know. But you love the answers I was giving. But the beautiful thing, they said, I sat down for an hour, and then I did a Megyn Kelly one, and she had, you know, just, boy, she became nastier all of a sudden. She was pretty nasty, didn't you think? Anybody that watched it. But they both asked many questions, many, many questions, and I could have gone on for hours, but, you know, there's a period of time, and you say, that's it. So they had like an hour, they had an hour and a half, and it would be, I think, 32 questions on 32 different subjects, and Biden can't do that. Biden can't. Maybe one question where he goes, Okay, I'll take a question from... Wait. I want ABC Ruth. And then she gives him a question, and then he reads the answer. Here's the answer. Nah, we're this country. We have to get this country straightened out. That's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. I want to thank my friend Congressman Wesley Hunt. He really is. He's a star. Where is he? And his incredible wife, who happens to come from the area, as you know. But Wesley, thank you both very much, and thank all three of you. Thank all three, because I have their beautiful new son, and thank you very much for coming up. This is a great honor. You're a very respected guy. And Jackson County Republican Chairwoman Darla Schulpel. Where's Darla? Where is Darla? She's here. Hi, Darla. Oh, very, very beautiful. You look great. Thank you, Darla. I heard you're doing a fantastic job, everybody tells me. Jackson County Attorney John Keyes. John? You around? Hey, John. Great. Central casting for an attorney. That's a good thing. My senior advisor, Representative Bobby Kaufman. Where's Bobby? Bobby is doing... Hi, Bobby. Oh, you gave yourself the worst seat in the house. Look, he's over by the wall. He knows how to take care of the customer, right, Bobby? Say hello to your father. His father's fantastic, too. State Representative Steve Bradley is here. Steve, thank you very much, Steve. Thank you very much, Steve. And a very special thanks to Luna Stoltenberg. Do you know, where is she, by the way? You know, there's a man that's in charge of NATO named Stoltenberg. You know that, right? And he's the Secretary General, and he loves Trump because I was able, you know, we were supporting NATO, and we were giving so much money disproportionately. And they're representing, you know, they're over there, we're over here. It's much more important for them. And I got them hundreds of billions of dollars in pay-up money because they were not paid. They were NATO countries. They were not paid. We were protecting all of these European countries. And for years and years, they weren't paying, or they were paying not a good amount of money. But the name was Stoltenberg. Same name as yours. You are so fantastic. She said, I pray for you every day. I write a letter to you every single day. Have you gotten them? I'm saying, yeah, sure. No. But she said, I pray and I do this. And I said, you are incredible. And she just gave me her endorsement, and she's highly respected here. So I want to thank you very much. And that Stoltenberg is very good, too, I have to tell you. He's the Secretary General, and he's been great. He said, you know, President Trump came in here, and he left, and he got hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in back. I call it delinquent, like in the real estate business, right? We call it delinquent. They were delinquent. Almost every country, seven weren't. It's a total of 28. But most of them were. Some were totally delinquent. They didn't pay for a long time. And he said, you know, he left, and he got the money pouring in by the billions. And we ended up getting hundreds of billions of dollars from these countries, so we didn't have to pay. And we didn't have to pay disproportionately. And the money they have now is the money that I raised them. He said, you know, Bush would come in and Obama would come in. They'd all come in. They'd make a speech. They'd leave. And that would be the end of it. They wouldn't say. I came in the first time, saw that this was wrong. Came in the second time about 6 months later. I said, you got to pay up. He said, nobody ever said that. So it was good. So I appreciate very much. And thank you, darling. We appreciate it very much. There are those that say this is the greatest political movement of all time. I think it is, MAGA. You know, when Biden criticizes MAGA, I say, no, it means make America great again. What's to criticize? You know, how do you criticize MAGA? They go, oh, those MAGA people. Anybody that says that doesn't love our country. It's called make America great again. But this is the greatest movement of all time. You know? Yeah. You know, over the years, and I was not in politics, although I was on the other side, like writing checks for everybody that I liked that was running, but I wasn't in per se. But I'd watch very carefully because I found it fascinating. And Over the years, you'd watch these people that sometimes they'd win like an election, come in second, come in third, fourth, and they'd be famous if they came in second, third, fourth in a primary. And they would go along a lifetime, I mean, literally a lifetime, and they'd become, you know, successful people, and they'd be very respected politically. And we came in first in, if you, last time, in virtually in every state, we came in first within the Republican Party, and then we did phenomenally in the election. But 2016, we won almost all of them also against professionals. You know, we had 18 people that were senators, for the most part, senators and governors. They weren't stupid people. And we came in, and this was a movement that nobody's ever seen before. You know, when that happens, if you almost win a state, you become some. Pat Buchanan's an example in New Hampshire. He came in, he did well, he did very well, and he's a terrific guy in many ways, right? We all sort of know him. And he did really well. I think he came in second, and you know, he had a wonderful political career. We came in first in almost every state, think of it, as a group, first, and we won. And then we won the election against beautiful Hillary, beautiful woman. So it's pretty amazing. So it's the greatest movement of all time, and in this country, and I think probably largely beyond this country. But if we win this time, this will be bigger than anything we've ever done. This will be at a level that's never been done, much bigger than had we done it the traditional way, which we did do, but we just didn't get credit for it. But we did do it. We'll win it three times. I mean, that's the way I look at it. We'll win it three times. But this psychologically and in many other ways, and you understand the different ways, but because one of the things of taking this pause is it shows how bad they are. It shows how bad their policies are. You look at the border, you look at all of the things that are so horrible that are happening, and it shows how bad they are. And we'll be able to do things and get things fixed in this country that probably you couldn't have really done politically or otherwise if you did it the traditional way. So it'll be something really spectacular. It's going to be, I think it's going to be amazing. And I will tell you, so we've run twice. I've never seen the spirit that we have this time. And a lot of that spirit, because you're longing for the good old days with the greatest economy ever and all those things. How about gasoline at $1.87? How about that? No, we had the great. Remember, I told you I made great deals. I don't even talk about China because of COVID, but I made one of the greatest deals ever with USMCA. But maybe the best was China, $50 billion. And remember, and you had to stay with me, the farmers I'm talking about, mostly in this case, less the manufacturers. They were there anyway. But they were the most loyal people. The farmers were the most loyal people. And they said, sir, we're with you. I said, I'm going to get you all sorts of subsidies from China. They said, sir, we don't want subsidies. We just want a level playing field. That was the only ones that told me that in 4 years in the White House. If I said, I'm going to get you subsidies because of, everybody would say, oh, give me the subsidy. I'll never forget, I had 36 farmers. They represented farmers from all over the country, a lot from Iowa. We were in the Oval Office in this gorgeous room, this conference room that's so beautiful and represented so many great things. Less so lately. There's not too many great things happening for our country lately. But they represented, and I said that to them. I said, I will work it so that you guys are going to be taken. And one of the gentlemen raised his hand and said, so we don't want subsidy. We don't want a handout. We want a level playing field, and nobody can beat us. And I said, what an unbelievable thing to say. It's the only time anybody said that, and that was the whole farm group. They all agreed with it. They didn't want anything. They just wanted fairness because they were not treated fairly. It was horrible what was happening to them, including with NAFTA, the worst trade deal ever made. So, and it was really horrible. And I then made USMCA, that's Mexico and Canada. And you know how good that is. They want to renegotiate the deal now. That's always a good sign. But we took it from the worst deal to the best deal. And NAFTA was probably the worst trade deal ever made. And USMCA is one of the best trade deals ever made in this country. And one of the other deals I made was with China. You're doing a lot of business with China. Now, they're not adhering to the contract anymore. I used to call every day, are they adhering? Are they buying? Are they buying? Because it was $50 billion they had to buy. And, you know, I misunderstood it. They said $15 billion. I said to Sonny Perdue, the Secretary of Agriculture, good guy, I said, how much have we been hurt, the farmers been hurt in this country by China trade practices? And he said, sir, $27 billion over a period of 4 years. I said, that's a lot. All right, I'm going to get it back. And I got you $28 billion, actually, from China. That came from China. And many of the people in this room opened up very big checks, but I got it. Everybody thought that you can't even think about getting that. I got you $28 billion. I got hundreds of billions for the country, but I got $28 billion from the farmer because of the unfair trade practices with China. The fake news doesn't want to write about that, but it's a big deal. In fact, I always say, there's no way I lose Iowa, Nebraska, any of the farm states, because who the hell else would get $28 billion from China? People would say, don't even think about it. And I'm honored to have done it, too. I'm honored to have done it. But we did fantastically well, and we made this USMCA deal. And most people said you'd never be able to get rid of NAFTA because, you know, these other countries have a lot of power. They have people representing them with a lot of power and stuff to change a bad trade deal. We have the worst trade deal. We have a lot of bad trade deals. We got you open in Japan. We got you open in South Korea. We got you open in a lot of different places. But I got that done. They terminated NAFTA, which people said would be impossible, and we got the USMCA. So now when they want to renegotiate, which they're trying to right now, don't let them do it. But we have a very short time left now when you think about it. You know, we're talking about a very, very short time. November of next year, we're like, wow, just a little bit more than a year. But a lot of bad things can happen in a year. Tremendously bad things can happen in a year. And a lot of stupid decisions can be made. Yesterday, I watched at the United Nations, and I still haven't gotten over the $6 billion for five people. $6 billion. They freed up $6 billion for five people. They got five. We got five. It was a hostage swap. They got five, we got five. That was the good news. The bad news is they also got $6 billion, right? And you say, how the hell, who would do a deal like that? But they're all bad deals. They're all. So yesterday, Biden was speaking, and I won't even comment on the speech. But he said one thing, that we got rid of our gas. You know, we have gas weapons, and they're terrible. They're horrible. They're unbelievably lethal and powerful, but they're terrible. And he said that they basically ended all of it. They've gotten rid of them all. And then he sort of indicated that, sadly, other countries haven't followed suit. Of course they haven't followed suit. They haven't followed suit because you don't get rid of them first. You get rid of them last or simultaneously. So we got rid of this tremendous, horrible, lethal power that we need if other people have it, but other people didn't get rid. And I said, how stupid is this? How stupid is this? So it's gone from us, but other people have it. And it's just step by step, day by day. So with having these people in there, I mean, the only thing they're good at is cheating in elections. It's really true, in my opinion. They're professionals at cheating, and you got to watch those elections very carefully. Less so in your case because, you know, you run a good ship, but in some of these states, it's just horrible. It's just horrible when you look at what's happened. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. So, if you want to save America from the, you know, I have a script here. So far, I haven't looked down at it. I'm saying, when am I going to look at this script? I have these brilliant speechwriters, and I tend not to use them too much, but it's better that way, isn't it? Isn't it nice when you have a president who doesn't have to read a script? Isn't that nice? So if you want to save America from Crooked Joe and the radical left, then get out and be patriots, and you're all patriots. Make sure that they're registered Republicans. Get out. You have to register. Register Republicans. Get them out. Get all of your friends out. And 7 p.m. on Monday, January 15th. That's when it all begins, January 15th, on a Monday. It's a good, beautiful day. And you got to get them out 7 o'clock in the evening. That's when it starts. And it's a beautiful scene, actually. In fact, I think I'll come up for it. Should I come up? Yeah, I'll come up. I'll get them out with you. I think I'll come up. I think I will. So I'll tell my geniuses over there. We'll come up. But we're asking for a commitment, everybody, to, if whatever you can, get three people at a minimum and come out, bring them out with you. Because caucuses, you can do that. You know, with the regular elections, it's a little bit stranger. But with a caucus, you can do that and get three people at a minimum and get out. And let's really start it off with a bang. They're losing in Iowa by like 35, 40 points. You know, second, Ron DeSanctimonious, who, remember, was against ethanol, totally against it, wanted to end it totally. And that would be devastating, frankly, for your farmers. It would be devastating for the farmers. But they wanted to end it. And I was the champion of it. I was the one that kept it going. And there was a lot of competition to not do it. And, yeah, I got it for, remember, 12 months. I did the whole thing on ethanol. I became the king of ethanol. But he wanted to end it. One thing I'll say about a politician, like a guy like him, he comes in, when somebody wants to end Medicare or when somebody wants to end Social Security, and go up to 70, minimum age 70, which is a big jump. When they want to do that early, they may change their attitude for an election, like come and say, oh, well, I love, you know, Social Security, but he voted three times against it. He wanted to cut, you know, cut that. He's a disciple of Paul Ryno. Do you know who Paul Ryno is? Paul Ryan. But he's a disciple of that whole group. And when they want to do it early, they may change for an election. They may get away with it. So much of that, and then this administration gives it right back. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But when you want to look at how somebody is, they go back to what their original thought is what their thought is. And they wanted to do big damage to Social Security. They wanted to raise that age to 70, and they wanted to do big damage to Medicare. You can't have that. You don't deserve that. There are other things we can do that are far better. Where we can do a real job, but you deserve it. You get to a certain age, you deserve it. We delivered record increase in real family income. It never, in history, there's never been anything like it. Went up $6,000 a year. Think of that. With no inflation. We didn't have inflation. We knew how to take care of inflation. You know. Look, inflation was caused because they stopped drilling. They stopped the energy, and that caused the inflation. Energy is so big. If you make donuts, if you make cake, if you're a lawyer, if you're an accountant, you're heating and you're trucking, and no matter what you do, energy is so big. And energy is now out of control. They did it fake. You know, we did a big thing with the strategic reserves and got them full. And then right now they're the lowest they've ever been. They've emptied millions and millions of barrels in order to have an election. Down. They were still very high, but at least they weren't at $5 and $6. So just today, gasoline hit $5 again. And no, but they don't want to pay either. So it's crazy. But we had it down to numbers. Actually, we had to raise it up a little bit because the oil companies, they were all going to go out of business. They never produced so much. They did a great job. And, you know, they did a great job for themselves, to be honest. But it was, we had it down below $2. And for a little while, we had it down to $1.50. But that's where we had to say, got to go up a little bit. But now it's hitting $5 again. And we're not going to let it happen because that is what caused inflation. And inflation is called a country buster. When you have inflation, you can go back 200 years, look at Germany, look at countries, what they went through with inflation. They were destroyed. I mean, literally, they were destroyed. They had to start all over again. And we've had the biggest inflation we've had in 52 years. So that's a lot of years. And it's been a lot of suffering. I see bacon is up six times. Bacon. Who would think, right? So people aren't ordering bacon. Then they say, oh, it came down a little bit. Yeah, they're not ordering it, which is not good for you either, by the way. But they're not ordering it. But so many food products now are going up and through the roof. So we're going to stop it. And I just want to tell you that it's an honor to have been able to control inflation. And it wasn't that hard because so much of it has to do with the energy sector. And we were going to be energy. We were actually energy independent. Nobody thought that was possible. We're energy independent. Just think of that. We didn't need, for the first time ever, we didn't need anybody's energy. We didn't have to guard the Gulf. We didn't have to do anything. We had all, you know, we have more liquid gold under our feet than any other nation by far. Think of it. And just think of how incredible that is, you know. So under our leadership, we built almost 500 miles of wall. You know, they like to say, oh, it was really 58 miles. No, no. You know what they do? They take this, how vicious they are. They, and you see the wall. You see miles as far as the eye can see. We built almost, and I had to do it because we have Mitch McConnell working with the Democrats all the time, you know, which is a horror show. Horror show. So I took it out of the military. I said, you know, this is an invasion of our country, and I'll take it out of the military. And we did that. And it was a tiny fraction for the military. And the military agreed with it. But what they did is, in order to demean, because they always try, their misinformation, disinformation, almost the same thing, by the way, close. Somebody, anybody want to give me a definition of the difference? Because it's almost, it's close enough, we won't waste our time. But what happens is, if there was a 2x4, 50 years old, laying there rotted, where there used to be a little wall, a little barricade or something, they'd say, oh, well, he didn't build the wall there, that was a renovation, even though we'd throw that junk out. We'd take down, like, a 1-foot wall of wood that was rotted and gone, and just literally gone, and take it away, and then we'd put up 30-foot and 40-foot walls, right, all over, all steel, everything that, those walls, that's not what I wanted. I wanted to have concrete plank. But the people at Border Patrol are fantastic people, and ICE. These are fantastic people. They don't get enough credit. And they say, sir, you have to be able to see through it. You have to see who's on the other side. So that went my idea of plank, you know, like from a parking garage. You can do 60 feet, 50 feet plank. But you just try and keep the graffiti off as much as possible, right? Because the graffiti begins, which I hate. I hate to see it. But that's what I wanted to do. But we had meetings with them, and we actually had mountain climbers coming in and climbing different things. And they were able to get a plank easy, and they had a much harder time doing this. But they also needed, they wanted steel on the outside. They wanted concrete, heavy-grade concrete on the inside. They wanted rebars inside the concrete. So you have three different substances for cutting. It's very hard to cut, very, very hard. So I did what they wanted. And then they wanted, you know, the plate. Do you ever notice the plate on top? I wanted to leave it off. I don't like it visually. But that's called an anti-climb plate. It makes it much harder to climb the wall. Some of these people, got to say, they are athletes. They climb a wall like there's nothing to it. And they have 200 pounds of drugs on their back. They're going up like, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. We had people show us things that I would say are pretty impressive. But that's an anti-climb bar, they call it. It's a very important element to stop people from climbing over the wall. So we did almost 500 miles of it. And then we were all getting prepared. We had it all bought, and we could have done another 200 miles because we needed more. We did what we said we were going to do. But then we could have done more, and we had it all bought. And we had the election was ended and rigged, by the way, and we didn't take over. And what they did, and this is the first time I realized they were serious because I thought they were playing games. I realized they didn't want to build security. They wanted to have an open border so that people can come in from other prisons, from prisons all over the world, from mental institutions and insane asylums all over the world. We have people coming in from all over the world, not just the four or five countries that we think of our neighbors as neighbors. We have people coming now from all over the world. We had the safest border in the history of our country. Now we have the worst border, I believe, in the history of the world. I don't believe there's any third world country that has a border like we have. And I think the real number is going to be when you really add it up, and I think if the numbers ever come out, I think they're going to have 15 million people by the end of this year would have come into this country under this lunatic regime of fascists and communists and everything else. So I think it's a terrible, terrible thing. But when we get in, we'll be able to stop it. We have Tom Homan. We have all of the greatest people. We have such great people. You know, if Biden went to the beach, you know, he goes to the beach all the time, right? You ever notice? Somebody's working him. He's got these consultants, and I think they think he looks good in a bathing suit. And he doesn't look good in a bathing suit. And somebody's giving him very bad, very, very bad advice. And when you look at it, and all he had to do is if he went to the beach and didn't do anything, you would have the strongest border you've ever had right now. But they decided to get rid of
Stay in Mexico. We had a policy, remain in Mexico. Remain in Mexico. How good is that? And we had to do that with Mexico. You think that was easy? We had, I went to the Mexican government. I said, we need a lot of people coming over in these caravans. I came up with that name, I think. Thousands and thousands of people heading up. But they knew, yeah, sit down, everybody. You have a couple of minutes, right? Sit down. Sit down. Whoever has a seat, whoever's lucky enough, otherwise I'm sorry. That's a little bigger crowd than we anticipated by about triple. But we had all of these people coming up, and I said to the Mexican government, remember, you know, the enemy, they say, he didn't get Mexico to pay for the wall like hell I didn't. I got Mexico to pay for 28,000 soldiers free of charge while we're building the wall. That was more money than paying for the wall. They were there for a long time, and they didn't, they're not politically correct soldiers either. These are soldiers that, you know, and they stopped it. And anyway, so that was sort of interesting. The State Department, a woman that works at the State Department, a good woman, she's worked really covering Mexico, I think, for 20, 25 years. And I told her, I said, we're going to have to get Mexico to give us soldiers. Well, they won't do it. I said, yeah, they'll do it, and they're going to be free, too. Sir, they won't do that. And then I said, so remain in Mexico. I want the soldiers. We want catch and release ended. It's catch and release, but we release them in Mexico, not here. You know, catch and release is called, we catch them, we find out they're criminals, and then we release them into our country. We say, come back in about 5 years for the trial, okay? Nobody ever comes back. No smart one comes back. A couple of them came back, but not too smart. But nobody ever comes back. So we had to get rid of that. But we had to go to Mexico. And I said to the top representative right under the president, and the president, I like him a lot. He's a socialist, but I like him a lot. I can't have everything, right? And I said, we want 28,000 soldiers along our border because you're sending a lot of people over. And we want your soldiers to protect us, and we're not going to pay anything. And he laughed at me. No, 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 we're not going to do that, sir. Oh, sir, I mean, what a stupid request. How you would not? And I said, you're going to do it. I mean, 100%. Well, what do you mean 100%? I said, no, 100% you're going to do it. No, no, we will not do that, sir. What's next? I said, next is remain in Mexico. People can't come into our country. They have to remain in Tijuana. They have to remain in you. You have to see hundreds of thousands of people were backed up. Not in our country. They were remaining in Mexico. All of a sudden, Mexico got stronger on their borders, okay, because they didn't want this, because it was remain in Mexico. And he said, no, no, we can't do that. We couldn't do anything. And I said, here's the story. On Monday morning at 7 o'clock, we're going to charge you a 25% tariff on any car. You know, they took 32% of our car industry over the years, not during my years, by the way, but they took 32% of our car industry. So we're going to have any car, any product that's made in Mexico, when it comes across the border, we're charging a 25% tariff. And I have the legislation right here. I'm going to sign it. I have the right to do that. And he said, you won't do that. I said, no, 100% I will, 100%. And I'm going to sign it right now. He said, sir, may I have 5 minutes? I'd like to call my country. He calls the country, he comes back. Sir, it would be a great honor to supply you with 28,000 soldiers free of charge. So I got 28,000. 28,000 soldiers. You know, 28, it's pretty good, right? Another little quick story. Should I tell you one other quick story? Yes? I mean, we're all having a good time. What the hell? I'm late for, as they say, the big venue. This is the big venue to me. This is a beautiful venue. This is our people. But we had another case where France was going to charge American companies a tremendous tax for the privilege of doing business in France. And I said, I can't take that. You're not going to do that. And I called in some of my great geniuses, and I said, you call them up and you tell them we're not doing it and negotiate it where they don't have to do it. They come back a week later. No, they've already pretty much done it. They passed legislation. They're going to charge American companies a very significant, very big tax. And that's bad for American companies. So I'm supposed to be guarding American companies and American jobs and everything else. So I say, go back, you have another day, go back and get it ended. And they came back and they failed. They were unable to do Treasury. They just were not able to do it. And I said, I'll do it. And I called up Macron, who's a very nice guy. And I said, Mr. Macron, you remember me? Yes, I do. I do. I do remember. His name is Emmanuel. I called up, I said, Emmanuel, listen, You're going to be charging our company significant money to do business in France. Is that correct? Yes, that is correct. It has taken a long time for us to work. Oh, that's fine. I think it's wonderful. So here's a story. If you go into this and if this thing takes effect on Monday, we're going to have something that's of equal effect. Every bottle of wine and champagne that you send into this country, we're going to put a tariff on for 100%. And he said to me, you cannot do that. That would be terrible. I said, no, what you're doing is terrible. So you can call me back within 5 minutes, but I've already signed it. On Monday morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, every bottle of wine and every bottle of champagne gets taxed at 100%. And we're going to make a hell of a lot more money than you're going to make with your tax. He calls me back 5 minutes later. He says, we have decided to drop the tax on American companies. And there's so much. I mean, I could tell you these stories all day long. I could tell you all day long. So we fully rebuilt the military. We have now peace through strength. You would have never had Ukraine and Russia. Russia would never, even the Democrats admit that. And I used to talk to Putin about it. I'd say, you can't do it. You know, it was the apple of his eye, I will tell you. That I knew. But I made it the unapple of his eye because I said, bad things are going to happen if you do that. And he didn't do it. He only started doing this after I was gone. All of a sudden, you see troops building up. Would have never done it, but we stood very proudly with our friend and ally, the State of Israel, kept to my promise, recognized Israel's eternal capital, and opened the American Embassy in Jerusalem. And not only did we have it designated as the capital, we got it built. I got it built. I took over a building. You all heard that story. I took over a building. They were going to spend $2 billion building a ridiculous building. They didn't even have the location. They had a plan without a location, which never works very well for architecture and architects. But I said, do we have a site? And they came back three, sir, we do. We have many sites in Jerusalem. I said, any of them with a building on it that we could convert? Yeah, we have one that's fantastic. The best site had a building on it. It was a closed building, but it was structurally very strong, very sound. And they got back to me and they said, my people, they said, we can do it for $400,000, sir. I said, first time I've ever done this in my life. I said, you know, honestly, that sounds too cheap. Sounds too cheap. I said, let's make it a little more, because that's crazy. So it was $2 billion. We got it down to $400,000. We ended up building it. I said, make it five, and we made it five. We built it for $500,000. A friend of mine is in an office building in New York, very rich guy, very successful guy. And every time I walk into his office, he talks about Jerusalem stone. He goes, look at the stone. It's so beautiful. I say, if I hear it again, now all of a sudden I'm in Jerusalem, right? So I say to my people, there's a very expensive stone. It's called Jerusalem stone. People are very impressed by it. It's a beautiful beige stone, like sand. Can we use it? Is it expensive? Sir, you're in Jerusalem. We can get it for nothing. I said, let's use it. So we did the whole building in Jerusalem stone, and it's beautiful. We got it built. So not only did we get it designated, but we got it built. And I recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. That was a big thing. They've been trying to get it done for years. And best of all, I got the Iran nuclear deal terminated. But unfortunately, this administration did not take advantage of it. They didn't take advantage of it. And bad things are happening. They're trying to build. They're building away a nuclear weapon. This would have never happened. We would have had a deal within 2 weeks after the election. We would have had a deal with Iran, and everybody would have been happy. So with your vote in January, I'll fight like no one else. And it's very important. It's so important and so important that you are first, because I believe in this state very much, and I believe in the people. I have so many friends here. We'll totally obliterate the deep state. We have a deep state. It was really deep. We got rid of Comey. We got rid of a lot of people, but it was deeper than anyone thought. And then we had the COVID, the dust from China. China virus came in. We did a great job with that. The stock market, when we turned it over, the stock market was actually higher than it was just prior to COVID or China virus coming in. So we did an amazing job in so many ways. We haven't been getting the kind of love on that one. We get a lot of love on the economy and a lot of things, but they never gave us one of the big things. And it was incredible. Don't forget, when that came in at a level that was nobody knew what the hell was happening. Thousands of people were dying in China. That's all they knew. and they knew something bad was going on, but nobody knew exactly what it was. We did a great job on that with the ventilators and all of the therapeutics and Regeneron and all of the things we did, the robes, everything. We did things that nobody thought could be done in a very short time. And we supplied the states with all that stuff because the states were all empty. I said their cupboards were bare. But we did that, and we did, you know, so many other things. We rebuilt our military. We did so much so fast that nobody's seen it. And some people say it was the most successful 4 years and one of the most successful presidencies by far ever, ever, you know? So, yeah. And one other thing for you, I'll tell you, I will ban the critical race theory and far left gender ideology from our school. And you've been hearing me say this. I will keep men out of women's sports, if that's okay. Because how ridiculous is that, right? Who would even think, I mean, you go back 10 or 15 years, if you ever said a thing, people would say, why were you saying that? How crazy is it? And they actually tried. You know, 2 weeks ago they had a weightlifting contest, and the weights were set for, I think it was 18 years women are trying to break it, and, you know, they put it like a quarter of an ounce on each end of the, Wesley's a strong guy, he could do this, but they put like a quarter of an ounce on the women are trying to, this guy comes along and breaks the record, I think, by 46% or something like that. He walks up, and he was a weightlifter, not a successful one. As a man, he wasn't as successful, but he was a weightlifter. And he came in and he shattered the record. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. The swimmers, you got to see these new times that are being established. And I tell the story. The woman looks left. She looks right. She recognizes. And then she looks at this person that's like a giant. And she's saying, oh, with a wingspan bigger than Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain. Does anybody know Wilt the Stilt? And I always say, and we say jokingly, of course, but she suffered grave injuries. Windburn, because he went by her so fast that she's still suffering massive windburn. No, the whole thing is ridiculous, okay? It's ridiculous. But I would be the greatest coach. If I were a coach, if I had that ambition to be a basketball coach, let's say, I'd go, I'm not a fan of LeBron James, frankly, but I'd go out, I'd get him. I'd say, LeBron, would you like to be a woman? And I'd get a few other guys. I'd say, would you like to be a woman, anybody? I'm going to establish a team. We would go undefeated for many, many years. Can you imagine that? But the great silent majority is rising like never before. And under our leadership, the forgotten man and woman will be forgotten no longer. I used to say that in 2016, and then I didn't have to say it. You know, another thing I didn't have to say, I used to talk about the border. We had a very bad border in 2016 when I was running. Border was a big part of the election. And in 2020, I couldn't talk about it because it was a solved problem. I used to say, we solved the border. And, you know, people have short memories. I'd say, we solved the border problem, and people didn't even remember they had a problem. So I couldn't even talk about it. But in 2016, it was probably the biggest thing. I used to talk about it all the time, build the wall, all the things that I did that I ended up doing. And we solved the border problem. So in 2020, I didn't have that. Who would think that now it's possibly the number one problem we have? I mean, when you look at our cities being overrun and everything else. Well, we'll get it solved very quickly, and we'll get a lot of people, we'll get these people out. Because this is not sustainable by any country. No country could do it. No country is that rich. It's just not sustainable. With your help, your love, and your vote, we will make America first. It's about America first. I mean, these people want China first. They want other countries first, Ukraine first. They want all this stuff. We give every time somebody comes over from Ukraine, they walk out with $25 billion. And we want to help Ukraine, but, you know, Europe right now is up to $25 billion, and we're up to $200 billion. Now, one thing we all know is that it affects Europe a hell of a lot more than it affects us. So why are they not going with equalization? So they have to equalize. Let them put up. You know, Europe's about the same size as of us if you add it all up. You add all the countries up, it's got about the same economy as we have. So they have a lot of money, Europe. But they don't pay the money because we have stupid people running our country. Very stupid people. You know, so. But remember, none of this can happen. None of what we're talking about. We're going to make our country so good. We're going to make it better than it was before. And we've learned, and I've learned. I also know everybody now in Washington. When I got there, the rhinos are recommending people, all this. We know so many people that I know the good ones. I know the dumb ones, the smart. I know more people. I know the tough ones, the great ones. I know the people. I know the rhinos. I got to know the rhinos. They're, I think, a dying breed, but I got to know a lot of rhinos. You know what that is, right? Republican in name only. That's true. But we got plenty of them, but there are fewer than there were. But you got to show up on Monday, January 15th. Defeating crooked Joe Biden is imperative because this country can't. I don't know if it can take another year. You want to know the truth? Okay, you know, we still have a year. I don't know that it takes another year, but we have no choice in that. So go to ia.donaldjtrump.com and sign up to help us organize what I will call the victory for the ages. This is going to be a victory for the ages. This is going to be bigger. You know, I used to talk about 2016, that 2016 is the biggest election of our lifetime, and I meant it 100%. Didn't say it in 2020 because we had a great thing going. We had the problem with COVID, but we had a great thing going. We had strong borders, nobody coming into it, very few people. Drugs were down to an all-time low. People coming in were down to an all-time low and only getting better. If they left it alone, it would have been a beautiful thing, but they didn't do that. But we are going to make this country stronger and better and more beautiful than ever before. Not just get it back. We're going to make it better than ever before. But we have to win this election. So I just really appreciate everybody in this room. You've been my friends right from the beginning. Most of you from, and I recognize so many like you. I recognize so many. But we have to go out and we still have to win something. You know, we have a lot of great people watching. It's going to be very hard for them to cheat. They always cheat. That's what they do is they cheat. That's the only thing they're good at. They're no good at policy. They're no good at borders. Think of it. Who wants an open border? Who wants high taxes? Who wants high interest rates? Who wants not to be able to buy a home? Who wants education that's a disaster? We're going to close the Department of Education, move it back to the States, by the way. So I really appreciate you being here, and you are such a special group of people. We just wanted to make this stop, but you're the people that are going to really make it work. And we have phenomenal leadership with Alex and everybody else here. I hope we have a victory, because if we don't have a victory, I really think this country is, I think it's finished. It's finished. I really think it's finished. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it is. You know, these leaders of other nations, China's very powerful. They're all very powerful, especially now with the weaponry. If you don't have the right leader, if you don't have smart leaders, your country's doomed. What they're allowing, like the speech he made yesterday, where he takes a vast sum of power in terms of a weapon and says he's terminated all of it. And then he's sad to say that the other countries haven't followed. Of course they haven't followed. Why? Because they're smart. Why would they follow? They want something for it. They want to do something. They want to get you to do it. You do it together, or you do it where they do it first. When you look at Afghanistan and that horrible withdrawal, the most embarrassing day in the life and the history of our country, the most stupid thing I've ever seen, where the soldiers are taken out first and everybody's stuck there. And we lost soldiers, and we have, to this day, many Americans probably living in hell right now. And we left back 85, you know, I rebuilt the entire military. We left back $85 billion worth of equipment. I believe it was the most embarrassing day. Do you know that Afghanistan's one of the biggest arms dealers in the world right now? They're selling the stuff that we left for them. 70,000 trucks, 700,000 guns and rifles, 700,000. How we ever had so many in the first place is so crazy. But we're going to make our country greater than ever before. Thank you very much. We'll take a couple of quick questions, and then we'll I'll shake a few hands. Question. Ma'am, go ahead. Hello.
Hi. Welcome, President Trump.
Thank you.
Okay, so you kind of already answered my question a little bit, but my question was, when you become president again, what would the first thing you'll do to fix our current school system and even our current military that's only focusing on teaching woke gender ideology over learning the basics of life and history and protecting us?
So, good question. Some of it partially answered, but not all. With the military, we're ending woke immediately. You know, I ended woke totally. And then they, in their first week, they reestablished it. It's crazy. They pay instructors hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. It literally, I mean, literally, they want our military to be woke. And it's just not going to happen. You read in Hawaii where they had the horrible fire where they have people going there. And before they bring them on board, they have to study woke for a week. Can you believe this? In other words, everyone's wanting to get back to their home, finding the bodies. It was such a tragedy. You don't read about it too much anymore, but hell is going on over there. And they want to give them classes in essentially wokeness. Can you believe? So, you know, you've seen it. Well, we'll end that very quickly. We will, with the school, I think the schools are very important. We're going to bring our education department back. Now, if you look at our education, we pay more per pupil than any country in the world by 3 times. And yet we're at the bottom of the list.